We have a guest joining us this morning by phone. Phil Chapa joins us. He's a financial analyst and business owner. He's managing principal and chief investment officer of Arbol Financial Strategies, LLC. Phil, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure.
Well, the economy always and the unemployment numbers, they always give us plenty of fodder to discuss. But unemployment down right now, jobs up a little bit. Is it not always trickling down to the folks who need it the most?
Not exactly. And let me tell you a little bit, Jim, why there's a problem with these unemployment numbers. First of all, they do not include agricultural workers. And I know that you folks in your part of the state are very agricultural, so it's a mainstay of your economy. And I would bet that you do have migrant workers in the summer that come in. So a lot of temporary workers and a lot of farm workers, and even those farmers who might have gone out of business, are never counted in unemployment. Secondly, it doesn't count the sole entrepreneurs. It doesn't count any of the individual business owners because they don't pay into the state unemployment tax. So they are not receiving unemployment and therefore not receiving it. They're not a statistic. Thirdly, it does not include those who are off the unemployment rolls because they've run out of benefits or perhaps have walked away. So even though the number is 8.3%, it's extremely deceiving, and it's not trickling down to the reality. The growth in the economy that we saw with the jobs creation is in the lowest sector. In other words, the minimum wage jobs. And I don't know about anywhere in the country, but I am sure that nobody can live on minimum wage in any state, not with a family.
Well, and we're seeing a lot of that, too. It's not just the unemployment, but the underemployment that really causes a lot of stress.
Correct. I mean, we have people who are college educated, maybe even more advanced degrees, and not saying that they're more important to the economy than a entry-level worker, but these folks are not able to get jobs because those jobs don't exist. I was amazed. I just read yesterday that there are probably thousands, they're saying, of college professors that cannot get employed because colleges and universities have cut back. What happens now when our educators, who we trained as educators, are not even able to get employed? I mean, it's a very serious situation.
Well, and these are issues that we all talk about, but they're difficult to talk and sort through sometimes for us because there are regional differences and trends that are involved in different types of industries, too, that can have an effect.
Absolutely. For instance, the housing market. The housing market is doing very well in certain parts of the Midwest. I know my brother, for instance, lives in Kansas. The housing market's booming. I live here in New England, in Connecticut, and we're losing more property values by the day. So there are pockets, and there are pockets of the economy. For instance, right now, we're seeing in Michigan a growth of workers. Ford came out. They had one of the biggest growths in the unemployment rate going down because they had hired so many workers. So we know that the auto industry, after the bailout and reorganization, is doing much better. So there are areas that are doing better, but, you know, overall, if you look at the macro, the largest part of the economy, there is still something not right. Money's still not floating down to the individual or to the business owner.
You know, what's been kind of interesting, too, Phil, is to watch what's been going on as the candidates for especially the Republican nomination, because they've been going after each other, as they move from state to state. We see the unique differences and the challenges that each state might be facing that's not maybe that big an issue in the last state they were in.
Exactly. And I think we're seeing it, you know, very starkly with the whole issue of Santorum winning three states this week. You know, people need to feel that they are connected with a person who understands their problems. And that's why there's a flip-flop in these primaries, because some states, as you said, are not as affected as others. But the states where Santorum won, you know, Missouri, Colorado, those states are really feeling some serious, serious problems.
And so many of them were just in Florida, where we kept continually hearing for about a week on the news about how the housing market there is darn near collapsing. They've had so many problems with the real estate market.
Oh, it's horrible. I have a client, actually, who went down. This is how bad the market is. Went down, bought a brand-new four-bedroom, three-bathroom home in a lovely neighborhood in central Florida, maybe an hour from the beach, with a built-in swimming pool, for $125,000. Now, that tells you how bad the market is, because that thing should be running over $300,000 down there.
It'd be worth more than that here, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like we should all run to Florida and buy what we can.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the answer to all their problems. Ultimately, jobs are the answer to everybody's problem.
Absolutely, and we've got to start putting money into the job market in the private sector. Too much money is still going into the federal government and those jobs, and I'm sure that all of our listeners are very well aware of the fact that you never hear about federal employees being laid off. They're either downsized through retirement or their positions are not replaced. But yet we hear of layoffs in the private sector all the time. So what we know has to happen, no matter what side of the aisle you are on, is that we have to do some cutbacks in the federal government, which means people have to go. And some of that money that's being cut back has got to go down into the private sector, especially the small companies that have always been, and people need to remember this, the small companies, Main Street, has always been the backbone of our economy, not the Xeroxes, not the IBMs.
Well, we see that here in our rural communities, too. But, you know, sometimes we get a different picture of what happens. Sometimes we talk about trends are a little maybe slow to get here from both coasts. But sometimes recessions and downturns like that are slow to get here as well. Commodity prices tend to be pretty good these days. Sometimes we feel like rural America is a little bit more insulated from those things than elsewhere.
And, you know, I would guess that if you're a community that really is self-sufficient, that is true. And for that, you should count yourself very lucky, because most communities are not, but smaller communities can be. We have pockets of communities even here in New England or in the Northeast that, you know, are pretty self-sustaining and have always been communities that are very independent, and they do seem to be more insulated. But unfortunately, more and more, we're all going to get affected, because not only are we interdependent at the worldwide level now, but we really are becoming more interdependent, you know, between each other. I mean, in the past, would there have been any connection between Connecticut and Iowa? Would there have been any connection between Maine and Utah? Now there is. Now we're importing and exporting goods state to state that before we never did.
Absolutely. And this isn't something that can just change overnight, I suppose.
No, it's something that has got to be a slow, planned, executed project. And unfortunately, you know, and again, this is apolitical, but I don't see either side of the aisle being realistic with any of this. They all want to give the voter the quick answer, the quick promises, and you know as well as I can that nothing happens quickly, especially in Washington. So, you know, people need to realize that what they should be looking for from the candidate is a detailed plan. Now, I've gone on the websites of every candidate, and I've got to tell you, and you know, this is not that I'm pro Santorum or pro Ron Paul or anything. Those are the only two candidates that outline detail by detail what they're going to do. The rest of them are nice little paragraphs that say, we're going to work on making the economy better and giving America back to the Americans. What is that?
But, you know, Phil, sometimes, though, we hear from candidates, so they have these plans put together, but then when they look back on what they've accomplished or haven't accomplished in some cases, there's always the talk about, well, all the greatest plans laid, but still things come up. A war pops up here, or this crisis comes up here, the bank fails here, or GM needs bailing out, and all of a sudden it changes everything. So you can't really blame me. I was just reacting.
And that's a good point. The other problem, too, is, you know, Congress very often is acting very childish. And, you know, I remember in third grade when I misbehaved that, you know, the teacher would go by and kind of rap you on the knuckles. I always think that there should be some kind of ruler in Congress, and some of these folks should have their knuckles whacked, because they just stop anything. And instead of trying to negotiate, you know, it just dies, or it becomes this big political battle and we're all enthralled with it. You know, the reality is the president does matter. The president sets the agenda. Doesn't mean it's the only agenda or the right agenda, but Congress has to work with it. And when you have a Congress that refuses to work with the president, that's what happens, is we are at stalemate. And that's where we are now. That's where we were with the first term of Bill Clinton. It's where we were with, you know, the short-lived second term of Nixon. You know, Reagan, the first term, had a problem. So it's not that it's the Democrats or Republicans. They're all to blame for this.
You must have gone to the same Catholic school I went to.
Actually, this was a public school. This is when you could get away with it. You know, I my parents couldn't afford Catholic school, and back then it was only $25 a month. It tells you how old I am.
Well, we hope we're not too much older when we get a lot of these things figured out and we get things back going in the right direction. We're talking about unemployment numbers that are just too doggone high, and a lot of people need to be able to get back out there and make themselves relevant again in the workforce and feel good about it, too. Very good. Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Anytime.